1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up tonight, we have Dave Oliva on our show, who is a young man with a rather shocking rumor, and I want to emphasize it is a rumor that we're going to get into at 9 o'clock. I don't know that I want to even divulge to you what this is, but it has to do with an extremely prominent... Well, I'll tell you, it has to do with Janet Jackson. But this is... This is going to blow your mind. And it's coming up tonight on the Phil Hendry Show. Also, Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor in Corona, California, is suing his wife, April, apparently because she did not act deferential enough. She was not acting like a truly domestic housewife serving beer and pretzels to his friends when they were watching the NCAA playoffs this past weekend. When he slapped her on the rear end and said thanks for the great sex this morning, she got angry. He's suing her for embarrassing him in front of his friends. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. But first, more just of the same old news, American corpses dragged through the streets. That's right. If it ain't the American flag being used as a garbage can, if it isn't an American businessman being knifed and thrown into a canal in Venice, Italy, if it's not our people being blindfolded and led around an embassy, if it isn't our people, our great soldiers in Somalia, brave men pulled from their helicopters and dragged through the streets by animals, well, it's our private American citizens, contractors, murdered, burned, mutilated, and then dragged through the streets of what's that town, Fallujah, in Iraq. This is the face of the Hussein regime. These are the people that supported him. These were Baathists. These are Sunni Muslims. This was the stronghold of the Saddam Hussein regime. And if there was any doubt in anybody's mind what that guy was about, all you have to do is read the news today. I don't suggest you want to see any pictures of it, because we've all seen it before. See, nobody's setting fire to French people and dragging them through the streets. No one's doing that to Canadians. Nobody's doing that to Mexicans. Americans, though, we get it all the time. Now, the cynic would say, you see, that's what happens when we meddle in other people's affairs and illegally take out this regime, even though I'm glad he's gone. You know, that whole argument that we've been sort of exploring over the last couple of days? I really am glad that Hussein's gone, but the way we did it, in fact, the Vatican, of all places, came out with a statement today toning down their criticism of the American presence in Iraq by saying, we're happy that Saddam Hussein's gone, we just disagree with the means. How long are we going to have this tired, stupid debate? If you're happy he's gone, you're happy he's gone. And by quibbling over the means, one would question whether you really do believe in the ends. If you really want to just beat that horse over and over again about how it was wrong, there wasn't any WMDs, there wasn't this, there wasn't that, there wasn't, you know, there's no tooth fairy, there ain't no Easter bunny, then, you know what, methinks thou protesteth too much, as the Bard said. Bard Simpson. You know, either the guy is out of there because you're glad he is, or just, you know what, keep your thoughts to yourself. I personally think the whole thing, today, what happened in Iraq proves, once and for all, if it doesn't show the American people the face of the hostile Arab, I don't know what will. I mean, this is exactly the kind of human being we're up against over there. They're animals, plain and simple. I'm not talking about all the Arab people. I'm talking about the ones that have, you know, that have about as much education as a decapitated fly, so they naturally go where uneducated people go. They go to the fundamentalist, sect of their religion, and they believe whatever some guy with a towel on his head says, and they realize America's the enemy, and that's why they don't have any running water, and that's why everything's bad. Because of America, America, America. America's taking their natural resource like they were going to see any of the juice from that anyway. Look, we may be taking the resource. We're paying pretty good for it. And last time I checked, them Saudis are running around in Mercedes-Benzes buying racehorses. They got golf courses over there. It's a piece of astroturf that they throw in the sand, but hell, it's a golf course. They're living great, and I don't see the Arab people living all that good. Do you? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, man. We're paying them for the oil. They take the billions. It goes down to country. Country have money. Somehow people no get no money. What's up with that? You want to know why? Because like I said, the whole place is just rotten to the core, man, like Krabby Appleton. Rotten to the core. And today, if you didn't see the news, You want your blood pressure to go through the ceiling? Do you really? I mean, if you're any kind of a human being and any kind of an American, I don't care. You could be the kind of an American who's like the Ralph Nader kind, or you can be the kind of an American who's the George Bush kind, or you can be the kind that's Phil Hendry. When you see your people, Americans, murdered in cold blood like this, and dragged around, you know, it was bad enough looking at the soldiers, the guys in the Blackhawks in Somalia. I guess in one way you can rationalize that they're soldiers, they know what they're getting into. But individuals that are over there as contractors who are working on behalf of the Iraqi people, whether they're getting paid for it or not, I understand they ain't over there for free. The fact is, though, they're doing heroic work. Try to turn that place into something other than a war zone. Or a place that's a playground for Saddam Hussein and his sons to romp and gallivant about, raping, pillaging, looting, drinking, and eating in the best restaurants and paying with somebody else's credit card. Now you got a really good, solid idea of what Saddam Hussein's all about. And more to the point, you got a really clear picture of what that world, that part of the world is about. And what they think about you. And believe you me, you could be the most peace-loving person. They see you walking down the street by yourself, man. You're going to get barbecued, too. And by the way, all that stuff about Saddam, he ain't talking. We went through that yesterday, too. Let me just reiterate. There's no way the CIA comes out public and says, boy, that Saddam is really a tough cookie. He's not talking at all. And Rumsfeld comes out in public and says, well, he's not giving us a whole lot. If you believe that, man, guess what? They got nickel cartons of milk down here. You can go on down and get all you want. Those guys, their stock in trade is BS. It's one of the ways they find out how people react to the BS, that they get more information. Down there in Iraq, whether you like it or not, the United States is doing a heroic job in trying to create something that may not be able to exist, and that is a democratic state in a part of the world that is stuck in the 15th century. Stuck in the 15th century. And why are they stuck in the 15th century? Because their attachment to Islam and the fact that they can't get over, they're getting their rear ends kicked out of Spain, I don't know, what was it now, 10 centuries ago? I mean, seriously, I had a friend of mine who was in the Peace Corps in Morocco. Worked in the Peace Corps for 2 years down in Morocco. This was in 1976. I was talking to him over a few beers. He said, you got to understand something, man. I said, what? They ain't gotten over getting their rear ends kicked out of Spain. I said, you mean the Moors? Yeah. They've still got a problem with that. What is that about? It's just the way it is, man. It's just the religion has a lot to do with it. You know, where developing societies are able to separate religion from state, which is what we did, which is a healthy thing to do. They never did that down there. Religion runs state. And so as a result, they're stunted. And they still think that they're at the gates of Constantinople waiting to invade Europe. They still think there's a chance, like that fruitcake, that Bin Laden, that guy talks about bringing back the Turkish Caliphate. You know what that is? That's the Turkish Ottoman Empire. He wants to return to that. That's like cats that want to go back to the days when, yeah, it's like being Amish. That's like being Amish with a machine gun. It's like dudes that say, oh, traditional family values. Why, I remember my father? Why, you could get a haircut for a nickel. It's swell, you know. I mean, I wish I lived then, but I don't, and we've moved on, man. I mean, this is it, sports fans. One thing that gives me heart, we aren't leaving Iraq, no way. Not even if Kerry gets in, are we leaving Iraq. Not even if Ralph Nader got in, are we leaving Iraq. You want to know why? It would be suicide for the Iraqi people. You might as well just go ahead and throw them to the lions now. They'd be fresh red meat. Just feed them to the alligators. By the way, speaking of the, you know, wild animals, remember that monkey that got loose? Where was that? What city was that in, Chris? Some ape got loose because a couple of teenagers were throwing rocks at it. So it got angry, as anybody would. And he went out and he tried to clobber these teenagers, but instead, I don't know, everybody got upset. So guess who? They shot the ape, not the teenagers.
That was Dallas, Phil.
In Dallas, Texas. There you go. Another reason not to go to that town. Dallas, Texas. A wide spot in the road, if ever there was one. A small town masquerading as a big city. I mean, you can spit from one city limit to the next. They got some idea down there that they're somehow international. Man, the only things international in Dallas are the Cowboys, and that ain't happening too much these days either. Some ape gets upset. Some monkey in a cage was a gorilla, right? Why don't you take the gorillas and put them back where they belong? I think zoos suck. I'll tell you what I'd like to see in a zoo. Hussein and his boys. Oh, you mean the two of them are dead? I got a great idea. Let's hang them upside down in a gas station and set fire to them. See, we're such animals, Americans, that when we captured Saddam Hussein, we got him in a place and we're feeding him and we're asking him, at least the guy ain't dead, right? That's the kind of animals that we are. Over there in the Middle East, where everybody's so freaking civilized because they believe in Allah, they turn you upside down and set fire to you. You can take that religion and those cats that shot that monkey and everybody else that's bugging me today and pound it sideways up left. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Stephen Bozell on suing his wife April because she wasn't acting like the Stepford wife he wanted her to act like, and he slapped her on the rear end and she got mad. Dave Oliva with a shocking rumor about Janet Jackson. Coming up tonight on The Phil Hendry Show, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Television pictures showed one incinerated body being kicked and stamped on by a member of the jubilant crowd while others dragged a blackened body down the road by its feet. As one body lay burning on the ground, an Iraqi came and doused it with petrol, sending flames soaring. Two bodies were tied to cars and pulled through the streets. These are Americans I'm talking about that were dragged through the streets of this town, Fallujah. This is the fate of all Americans who come to Fallujah, said Mohammed Nafik, one of the crowds surrounding the bodies. Some body parts were pulled off and left hanging from a telephone cable, while two incinerated bodies were strung from a bridge and left dangling there. A young boy beat one of the incinerated bodies after it was pulled down with his shoe as a crowd cheered. The irony of all of this, folks, is this is what they should have been doing to Hussein. That's the irony, see? This is what they should be doing to Assad. This is what they should be doing to the mullahs of Iran. This is what they should be doing to the, frankly, in my opinion, the royal family of Jordan. And this is damn sure what they ought to be doing to every guy that runs Hamas and the PLO. But they do it to Americans. Why is that? It's a very simple reason. They don't have any information. There is no news. There is no free exchange of ideas in that part of the world. Just freaking propaganda. If you think you get propagandized here in America, brother, you can always get on the internet and read whatever the hell it is you want to read, or you can go down to a library and buy whatever the book you want to buy or magazine you want to buy. You can always get another point of view in the United States, as much as you may think all the news is slanted coming out of ABC, CBC, CNN, whatever the hell. All you got to do is get up off your ever-widening rear end and go on down to the old library and find some other information. Over in that part of the world, who can freaking read? Who can even read over there? A young boy beat one of the incinerated bodies after it was pulled down. I'm happy to see this. The Americans are occupying us, so this is what will happen. Yeah, that's what the Americans are doing, occupying you. Saddam, on the other hand, was preoccupying you, I guess. At least we're keeping you occupied. You know, if you're being occupied with hopscotch and board games, it ain't bad. But they'd rather have Saddam there. In other words, they'd rather have guys tossed off at the tops of buildings. I mean, these are all a bunch of Baathists. Let me tell you what they ought to do with this town, this Fallujah. They ought to quarantine it like it's a disease. They ought to put a roadblock all the way around that town. See, if we were Nazis, which we're not, if the Americans were truly the Nazis that everybody likes to say we are, the invading army, the poor Iraqi people that we've hurt so bad, right? The ones that we're building all those bridges for and getting all the electricity up for. If we were Nazis, well, let's take what the Nazis did, for example. Here's what the real Nazis did. If this would have happened in World War II to Germans, the Nazis went into those towns, you know, and they took out all the men. And they killed them all. until they found out who was responsible, and then they killed all the women, and then they'd kill all the kids. And then they'd level the town. If you think I'm kidding, read what happened to a small village in Czechoslovakia because one of their scumbags got killed, one of these Nazis, I forget his name, Heydrich. This guy got killed. You know what they did? They murdered every person in the village, and they had the village flattened and eradicated from the map. Now, that's what Nazis do. You're not going to be seeing Americans doing that. Why is that? Because we ain't Nazis. Contrary to popular freaking opinion. Hey, by the way, nice day to start Liberal Talk Radio Network, huh? What are those cats talking about? I guess they ain't talking about this one, are they? You see that, man? Liberal radio got going today, the Liberal Radio Network. I'm a liberal, and I wouldn't have anything to do with those guys. See, I know card-carrying liberal, man. You know what I'm saying? I pick and choose my fights. I know what the truth is. At least I try to figure out what the truth is. And I'm not sitting here with a, you know, I got a tattoo, but it's of my wife, man. It ain't a freaking Al freaking Franken. Or is it Al Freakin? And the other one is of a dagger going through a rose. It ain't Janine what's-her-name. And those guys are over there rapping about what? I bet you know what they're saying. They're saying this is probably our fault. If you hadn't gone over there, this never would have happened. Wait a second. 5 minutes ago, you just told me you were glad Saddam was gone. Yes, but I would rather he still be in power if we... Oh, well, at least you're making a commitment. At least you're actually saying something. So you'd rather he was still in power if it would have saved all these American lives? Yes. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Exactly when do you think we ought to fight for something? Anything. I don't care what it is. The color of your shoes. The ability to use toilet paper as opposed to wax paper. Anything. When would you fight for it? Well, I don't know. I have to, you know what? I got to get going. I got an acting class I got to go to. Yeah. See you later, Janine. Michael Moore was a guest on the Franken show today. You know what? I found out something. Michael Moore himself is not funny at all. His movies have had some wit, but he is so boring to listen to. It's unbelievable. Have you ever tried reading one of his books? Honest to God, did you read that Dude, Where's My Country? Holy God, does it suck. Here's a line from it. Something about, here's the line. Sorry. We'd be out of Iraq faster than you can say, Garcon, more stinky cheese, please. Is, you see, it's like, okay. That's funny, Michael. Way to go, man. Knocking it out of the park, dude. And by the way, if anybody needs less stinky cheese, brother, you know, I don't want to say anything, pal, but at least I'm on Cortislim. By the way, I would be willing to send Michael Moore a free case of Cortislim if he'd come on my show. If he'll come on my show and let me interview him, and it won't be friendly, I will give him, and you know what, I'm a Democrat, for crying out loud. I vote for a lot of the same guys he votes for. But that fat tub, I will offer you, in fact, I could get Dr. Greg on the phone. I know we would give him a year's free supply of Cortislim if he'd come on our show. So, would you make that happen, Janice? All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Coming up tonight, we have got a piece of information that you're going to find shocking, and I'm being very serious. It concerns Janet Jackson. Our guest is Dave Oliva, who will talk about it. Also, Stephen Bozell. All of his friends have wives who get beers for their buddies, who bring in chips and salsa for their buddies during the ball games. Why can't his wife be that way? Well, he asked her if she'd at least pretend she was like that, and she did, until he smacked her on the rear end and said, thanks for all that good sex this morning, baby. She reacted negatively, and now he's suing her. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, community property means you can't really get any money from your wife, so he figures his father-in-law will give it to him. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 888-449-8686.
Now, we have this thing called the Liberal Radio Network, and it started today. Al Franken, I guess, is their headlining cat, and they've also got Janine Garofalo and some other guys, and they're the Liberal Radio Network. So it's just going to all be liberal stuff. What if you change your mind in the middle of your show and you think something conservative is cool? Do you get fired? Do you get, like, fined for indecency? God, talk about a fascist working environment. You know, I really kind of think on this issue, man, I'm really, like, maybe against this particular... Well, you can't do that on the air, then. Well, why not, man? I mean, I'm a liberal. Well, no, you're no longer a liberal if you think that way. Well, who says? Well, I do. Well, who are you? You're Al Franken. What, are you making the rules now? Look, we're just trying to, you know, we want to have an image. You got to probably run your topics by this guy to make sure that everything's cool. Don't you people over there know what you're doing? It's called radio. This is not where you go and play. Oh, yeah, I can do that, man. It's a radio show. I know how to do that. Every time they get one of these guys on the air to try to do a radio show, they suck. Remember that guy, what's his face? Yeah, him. He sucked. No, I'm kidding. What's the guy? Mike Farrell. He did a talk show. Oh, my God. You would have beats counting sheep, I'll tell you that. All of those guys, man. I mean, whether they're liberal or conservative, you got to have professional broadcasters. What the hell is wrong with people? Who's bankrolling this thing? Obviously, somebody with a whole lot of money to set fire to. Dude, if you want to give your money away, I could use a few hundred. I could use a few thousand. I'd like to pick a few million off the money tree. You want to burn your money, man, might as well put something in it to smoke. Franken's show went live with co-host Cat. Oh, yeah, they got to have the co-host. You know why? Because the cat can't carry the show by himself. He's got to have a co-host. Here, I'll show you what an equal opportunity offender I really am. Who's that other bald-headed forehead boy? Forehead boy on Fox, you know the guy I'm talking about. I met his co-host, by the way, over in Aspen. Janice, what was her name? She's a nice gal from Court TV. Hell of a nice lady, really smart. And I said, you're really smart. Why are you co-hosting a show with this idiot? And she goes, I don't know, man. You know, it's like, I said, really, I seriously said, I said, I think it makes you, I don't think it's the best thing for you. And I said to her, I go, is the reason why you're working with him because he can't carry a three-hour show? And she goes, pretty much. Now, I know Forehead Boy isn't going to believe it because it's coming out of Phil Henry's mouth, and he's the guy that does all the funny voices, and he jokes about stuff. But that's what she said. You can't carry 3 hours, man, so you got to have a co-host. In other words, he needs a chick to laugh at all of his stupid jokes. That's what that means. Let's hire some chick who'll go...
Yeah, the other thing about Bush is, the guy's a real moron.
Al, you're so funny. Actually, it ain't a chick. It's just some guy doing a chick's voice. Then they got Janine Garofalo. I don't know what happened to her, man. She used to be a lot of fun, and now she's all, I don't know, liberal. And they got a few other people. None of any real note or talent. And they're going to do their 3 hours of radio every day. Look it. Let me just give you guys a piece of advice coming from somebody who, you know, has kicked around this business like a piece of dog crap stuck on a shoe for a long time, my friends. You 3 hours a day is 3 hours a day, brother. And after you get your rocks off, cranking about Bush and all this stuff, you're going to have to do something else. And like I said, if a guy comes in and says, hey, Mr. Franken, you know, it dawns on me, Kerry is really wrong on this issue. And I think that, frankly, we ought to be supporting Bush because it turns out that Kerry molested... like orphans.
No, you can't do that.
What are you talking about? I'm not going to support Kerry. He molested orphans.
Well, we're just going to have to take the whole thing off the air then. Rather than speak the truth.
Oh, okay. And now on the Phil Hendry Show, time for a brand new feature called How Do We Know They're Telling Us the Truth? Guess we're Americans. Nobody lies to us. There must be an ulterior motive. The government. That's right, the government is probably feeding us with disinformation and propaganda. In other words, to take our minds off of bigger issues so that we won't realize that there's other problems and bigger issues. Here's the latest conspiracy uncovered on our show, folks. Notes may show Bush plan on Clark. Now, the story, ostensibly written by Pamela Hess. Hess, by the way, is a German name. Who is a UPI Pentagon correspondent. Oh, really? How do I know that? Because she says it? Dateline, Washington. Well, that's a freaking lie. It could be Dallas for all we know. The White House was worried about the damaging testimony of a former counterterrorism chief to a commission investigating the September 11, 2001 attacks, according to Pentagon briefing notes found at a Washington coffee shop. The notes say, stay inside the lines. We don't need to puff this up. We need to be careful as hell about it. The notes were written by Pentagon political appointee Eric Ruff, who left them in a Starbucks coffee shop in DuPont Circle. The notes are genuine, a Pentagon official said. They were compiled for an early morning briefing for Rumsfeld before the Sunday morning talk shows. The Starbucks customer who found them gave them to a liberal advocacy group, the Center for American Progress, which published them on its website Wednesday. All right, let's talk about this for just a second. This was written by UPI. UPI used to be a formidable news-gathering agency, but in recent decades, they have had the stuffing kicked clean out of them by AP. UPI is hanging on by just by its fingernails. This is the kind of story that they need. So, what did they do? They went out and dummied up some notes and left them in a Starbucks, only to have the, look what I found! Now, who is Eric Ruff? Eric Ruff probably is a Pentagon appointee, but he didn't leave any notes. But he's not going to say anything about it, because if the official line is always, well, we disavow any knowledge, see? He can't say anything about it. He may want to sue them later on, and he might file an action, but right now, he can't do anything. So these notes were actually written by this UPI reporter, and then left there for some liberal advocacy group to find. Well, now, how did she know that a liberal advocacy group was going to be there? Because she has coffee there every morning, and she hears them boring her to tears with their baloney. So she said, oh, I'm going to leave these notes. These guys will sure enough rat this guy out and give them to somebody. I think UPI is making this entire thing up. I'm not even sure there is a Pamela Hess. I think it's probably more like Martin Bormann or something like that. Maybe Rudolf Hess. What do you think of that, huh? No, you don't want to think about that one, do you? Starbucks? A little too pat, UPI. Starbucks. Might as well have said, and it was left in a McDonald's booth with some Egg McMuffin wrappers around it. Who are you guys kidding with this baloney? Yes, uncovering another bullcrap news story on how do we know they're telling the truth. This is the Phil Henry Show. That whole story about them notes in Starbucks, don't believe it. It's poo.
If you have a news story that you think is doo-doo, send it to How Do We Know They're Telling Us the Truth, care of the Phil Henry Show, California, Los Angeles.
Thanks, bud. You got your rocks off on that one, huh? By the way, you put the city before the state.
Oh, okay.
California, Los Angeles. 1-800-449-8686. The best of the Phil Henry Show CD is available, and there ain't no baloney there. It's pure, unadulterated humor, drawn from the best of our shows over the last year of 2003, that is. And it's available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. It's called The Death of Talk Radio. The material, all of the CDs that we sell, go to my friend's place. The profits go to my friend. The money goes to my friend's place. There are no profits, man. All the bread goes directly to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. So if you'd like to help the kids, you can always send them a check over there at my friend's place for any amount. $5, $2, whatever you'd like. Or if you want something for your money, you can get our CD, and the $20 goes to them directly. Or if you don't have a computer thing, you can call 877-616-7445 and order it by phone.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I would like to know the name of the woman who co-hosts with Forehead Boy on his radio show. What is her name? Because we did meet her in Aspen. She's a really gracious, super intelligent woman. She works on Court TV, and we had a good time talking with her, and she was just about in tears you know, at the prospect of having to go back to New York and get on the air with Forehead Boy and listen to his bad, you know, his bad jokes, his stale humor, and his lame, boring, stale takes on everything. So she was really, she just threw her arms around my neck and said, just please hold me. And I did for a while, and then I said, yo, there's Barry Levinson, and I dropped her. So, by the way, I was on the Court TV website, and I saw something that I sort of almost fainted. It just sort of stunned me. Al Roker investigates. What's that? On Court TV. It wasn't Comedy Central. Al Roker investigates what? Another menu? What's in the last sandwich he ate? I don't understand.
Are you doing a lot of fat jokes now?
What is that supposed to mean?
I went online and looked up some fat jokes when you started doing them.
No, I don't need any fat jokes, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Now it's time for phone calls. Here is Hush. Hush?
Yes, Mr. Henry.
What's your last name, Puppy?
funny, not too original, though. Yeah, I'm just calling. I agree with a lot of everything you say. I absolutely agree with you.
Which part, about Al Roker?
Oh, no, actually not about Al. I never watched today's show, so... But I agree with you that Saddam Hussein needs to be done to him is exactly like you said. But the only thing I'm calling about really is that what you said about the whole, you know, these people could take their religion, do it sideways and whatnot.
Right.
And I'm sure you've heard this argument before, but, you know, and I'm sure someone like you does understand it. These people in the PLO, these people in the Taliban, they're not representative of everybody in Islam.
Well, here's the thing. And you're making a point. Yes, you're right. I have heard it before. And by the way, I've said the same thing about Christianity. There comes a time when I have to say, you know what? I'm giving you guys a lot of benefit of the doubt here, and there ain't a whole lot I'm seeing that's making me smile. Same thing with Christianity. And I know it comes mostly from the sort of the liturgical, well, not the liturgical structure, but it comes from the establishment, the administrative structure of a religion. The mullahs, the popes, the priests, guys like that who really give it the bad name. But I look at these faiths, whether they be Christianity or Islam, and I single out those two because their practitioners seem to be the most violent. And these days, particularly Muslims. Now, at what point am I supposed to say back to you, Hush, hey, look, dude, I've been giving you the benefit of the doubt, okay? I've been giving you the benefit of the doubt. And what am I getting in return? Every time I hear a Muslim talking, he's got some problem with the way America's acting. Now, is there a do you have to be like a certain political party to be a Muslim?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, how come it's all the same stuff?
Well, on the other line, you're on the phone with a Muslim who is part of the Marine Corps, who has served this country, and who would die for this country gladly, and I pledge allegiance to the flag every chance I have. So,
well, in that case, go and sin no more. No, I mean, and I appreciate that. I guess what I'm saying is, I have seen overwhelming sort of commentary from the Muslim community that is anti-American. You're right. I can find a Muslim here and there that's a cool guy. I saw the guys, the Muslim Marines over in Afghanistan, cleaning out the mosques, sweeping them out, setting them up, all that stuff. But for the most part, man, it's like this real hostile thing. I don't understand it.
Well, the thing, it goes right back to what you said, Mr. Henry. It goes back to these people they're uneducated. All they've been taught is one thing, and they don't have the luxuries of me being grateful. It's so great that I got a chance to grow up in the greatest country in the world. These people on the other end of the world, they only read one book and they only have one teacher. They don't, like, if I was, like, I'm originally from Afghanistan. If I was from Afghanistan, I wouldn't be at liberty to voice my opinion on your radio.
You're from where?
I'm from Afghanistan.
You are originally from Afghanistan,
yes.
But you're raised here.
Absolutely. I've been in America since I was 2 years old, and I love this country with all my heart.
Well, look, man, no offense. I mean, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is it is a country that, you know, it is a part of the world where they claim such a strong tie to this religion, and yet the violence that is coming from that part of the world where they claim this strong allegiance to that religion is not only is it extreme, it is the most hateful, animal, uncivilized kind of behavior I've ever seen in my life. But it may be, as I said, Hush, you know, more of a commentary on the tie between state and religion that is too tight over there that we were able to free ourselves from over here. Christopher, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. I had something I wanted to say, but now I want to kind of respond to what you and Hush were talking about. I noticed you mentioned that from your perspective, these Muslim countries are they're the most violent. Is that what your opinion is?
Well, I'm looking at a part of the world that claims a strong tie to a religion that they say is peaceful, and yet their violence is almost, it's to say the least, over the top.
Yeah, I see the same thing when I watch the news, and I also see the same thing from America's point of view. I think that we have strong ties to our government.
No, you don't.
I think that,
you don't
I think
see Americans dragging people's bodies through the street and setting fire to it. No, you don't.
Well, I think America probably has more murders every day than those countries.
No, you don't see American citizens dragging bodies through the street and stringing them up. No, you don't.
No,
you're just engaging in a lot of hyperbole that is kind of usual from people who want to, you know, we can't say anything about the world without pointing out how rotten we are, too.
I'm not saying we're rotten. I love the United States, okay? But I can also see
here comes the real answer. Remember, I said the real answer comes after the word but. But what?
Well, but I think that there's a lot of comparisons between our country and those countries in terms of violence. And
you're high, man. You're high, dude. You're baked. What are you talking about? The worst serial murderer in this country gets cuffed, put into a radio car, taken out of the jail, interrogated, and put on trial. And then we either gas the guy, put him in a nut house, or let him go. I mean, you never see Americans dragging somebody through a street. If they do, they're arrested by the police if we find them, and they're put in jail. This is what we call a civilized country here, Christopher. Don't devalue what you have, man. Don't feel guilty about it and have to devalue it because you feel so guilty that some other cat lives in a mud hut someplace.
I don't feel guilty about being an American. I'm proud to be American.
That did that to those Yanks, those people are the worst animals I've ever seen. I can't even imagine that kind of behavior happening without somebody being arrested and prosecuted for it.
Well,
over there, it's celebrated.
You mentioned the hush that you noticed that the sentiment of it was anti-American. And I think that it's in America, the sentiment over here is hugely anti-Muslim. In fact, I'd say it's like anti-Brown.
If it's so anti-Muslim, dude, why are mosques every day in this country attended with prayerful people? They go in, they leave, they attend meetings. What? You know, these are places where people go to worship. Do you see them getting burned to the ground in every city?
No, they're lucky enough to live in America. I'm not doubting that Muslims are peaceful people.
No, wait a minute. But you are doubting that Americans are peaceful people, even though I pointed out to you, man, that people go to worship in every kind of house of worship in this country. I don't see, there's occasionally a spray-painted swastika on a synagogue. People got a real problem with Jewish folks. But when we find those people, we arrest them, too. No, man, you know, it just ain't washing, baby. You know, you're just going to have to look at this thing dead on for once, folks. Let's look at something dead on and not have to turn around and look at our own country and say, well, you know, we're just as bad because we have child molesters. Yeah, we got all kinds of bad stuff, man. We deal with it. There's cats over there, man. They'll probably give those guys the Nobel. They're going to give it the Saddam Hussein Prize for physics because they learned how to light a fire.
Look, gasoline make man go.
Yeah, that's very good. Okay, got the chemistry award. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Tell me about the, with Stephen Bozell, you had a business agreement, right?
Yes, sir, I did. With my wife, April.
And tell me about this. This was a business agreement with your wife, and you are suing her for breaching this agreement.
Yes, sir, and I do want to say this time it was witnessed by Mrs. Charlotte Scott, who works domestically for my wife 2 days a week, so she did see this. The agreement stipulated that my wife, at least when my friends were in our home, my wife was to be deferential to me, to act in a way that is traditionally domestic, to act in a manner that sent the message that, for want of a better term, I was the king of my castle, that she knew I was the boss of the house, and so on.
So. She was to more to the point, she was to, when you had friends over to watch ball games and things?
Basketball games are, we have a card game that we have, not more than every 3 months, but those kinds of things.
Now, this all came to you as the result of a conversation you were having at work with your colleagues?
Yes, sir. The origin of this was simply the ongoing conversation I had with two of my crew chiefs at B&B Construction, which is a company that I own.
Okay.
Cliff Pettigrew and Steve Bertucci, both these gentlemen have told me about their wives. And when you hear it, you sort of shake your head and think, you know, they're pretty lucky.
And what about them?
Cliff is married to a former dancer. He met her in Laughlin, Nevada. She dresses sexy for him. He also says that when he has friends over, she'll get him beers. And for all the guys, these are the things I remember when I was a young man, and my mother always get my father and his friends beers and things like that. Mr. Bertucci told me that his wife always prepares extra food in case he has one of his workmen come home with him. And you hear this and you...
Yeah, and you don't have a wife like that, I take it.
Oh, well, no, sir, I don't have a wife like that. One of the reasons is April, after she had our two children, you know, I'm not criticizing her, but her figure really never came back, so she isn't really the kind of woman who can dress up sexy when your friends come over. But I told her one night, she asked me what was wrong, and I told her about Cliff and Steve and the kind of wives they have.
Now, that must be tough for your wife to hear you extolling other men's wives' virtues.
Well, I love my wife, sir.
But you were saying to her, all these guys have wives who will get beers for the friends and make sandwiches for them and be deferential, as you say. In what other ways deferential? What do you mean?
Well, sitting on their lap and, you know, dressing cute and all, and everything like that. And I want you to know that I do love my wife, but I don't have a lot of the men over from work because she's not like their wives. When her body went after the kids were born, man, it never came back. And she is a little selfish. I asked her if she wouldn't mind doing something about her weight because, you know, it affects how I feel about her, and she never did it. So I told her about Cliff and Steve and their wives being attentive and cute and everything, and I asked if she wouldn't mind when the men from my crew or other friends came over if she just tried to act like these other gals.
Why? Because did you tell these guys you had the same kind of wife?
I told these guys that my wife was the same, yeah.
Now, did she agree to at least pretend like she was deferential?
Yes, sir.
So that's all right. So now, just in case people just joined us, so your wife did agree to act like the kind of wife who fetches beers and is sort of the domestic kind of wife to impress your friends?
Yes, sir.
All right. But she agreed to do that?
Yeah, and she said it sounded harmless and it sounded like fun. And that statement there sounds like she wasn't taking it seriously when she said that probably was a tip-off.
What, that she said it sounded like a lot of fun?
Yeah.
All right, now your attorney tells me that you had four or five men over last Saturday for the basketball game.
That is correct, yes.
All right, Mr. Pettigrew was there, Mr. Bertucci. Now, what happened during the basketball game?
The afternoon was going fine. She had brought in a tray with some salsa and chips. I'm reading from some notes, and she also some ranch dip as well, and so on. And I saw that the tray got the guy's attention, so I slapped her on the rear end, and I said to her, you know, and I'm quoting directly, that sex we had this morning was real good. Now, this is how Cliff and Steve talk to their wives when their friends come over, and their wives are okay with it.
But your wife reacted negatively.
That is correct. She told me that in the kitchen she said that she thought it was inappropriate, and she went upstairs and acted disobedient, basically, which is in violation of the agreement.
And did the friends leave?
Well, they did drift away during the afternoon. Mr. Pettigrew pulled out a picture of his wife and said, well, this is what I'm going home to, as if to say, you know, good luck being married to that beast or whatever. I'm not sure.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Even if you're not a deferential kind of wife, when you agree to be one, at least for an afternoon with the guys playing cards, should you follow through on that agreement, and is it grounds for a lawsuit? You have sued your wife alleging a breach of marital agreement to act in a manner that would enhance your business standing?
That is correct, yeah.
You're also claiming that her walking out of the room constituted emotional cruelty and abandonment. Now, have you moved out? Are you guys separated?
No, sir, we're not separated. I'm not filing for separation or divorce.
Well, so you're just filing for what?
I'm asking the court to award me damages not to exceed $50,000.
From your own wife?
That is correct.
With community property, does she have her own money?
No, she doesn't, but in the state of California. But her father is a prominent retired insurance executive from Nashville, and he could write a check for it.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. It's an interesting story because Were you trying to impress your friends, or what was it about your friends talking about their wives being all cute and sexy and getting beers that...
Well, you just, you hear this talk and you want to be like the guys. I wanted to be just like them, or not be just like them, but I wanted to... Men want to have a wife who will go get them a beer. That's one of the prime, you know...
A lot of wives will grab a guy a beer. I mean, does that... I don't understand.
Well, but sit on their lap and be cute and sit down and, you know, not bother them during a ball game and stuff like that. In other words, you can tell them stuff and they'll act like... I've been over at Cliff's house where he tells his wife, hey, you know, give me a beer and just get out of here. And she'll leave, you know. And Bob Bertucci's wife, she'll make sandwiches, she'll put them down, and she'll say, okay, now I don't want to bother you guys, and she'll leave. I've never been able to tell my wife, just get out of here, you know, I'm having fun with my friends. And I don't think she should have agreed to this.
Why is that important to you, man? I mean, to tell a woman to get out of here, I mean, Steve...
Look, Mr. Henry, I'm just talking about my lawsuit. I don't care really how you deal with it. I'm telling you what's important to me and what's important to most American men, and that is to be able to have, you know, to be able to have a wife. I'm not saying she shouldn't have a job. I'm not saying that she shouldn't be able to, you know, earn equal pay or anything, but you should in your own home be able to tell your wife, you know, go get me a beer and keep the kids quiet, you know, and be able to say that and not have to say please or anything. But
what's wrong with common courtesy?
Nothing's wrong with common courtesy.
Don't you think it's common courtesy to say to your wife, darling, thanks for the beer. We're going to have a poker game here.
See, that just sounds so sissy. I mean...
That sounds sissy.
Well, you understand, Cliff Pettigrew, I've been to his house like four times. We had four poker games there last year. We're going to have four more at my house this year. And I heard him, and everybody looked at each other like, that's pretty good that he's able to do that.
But he said to his wife, get me a beer and get out of here?
Well, no, he said, go get everybody a beer, and then I don't want you around for a few hours. Just go take the kids down to your mother's. And he didn't say, please. He told her what to do. And she said, okay, and she even came over and kissed him. And all I'm saying is, when I asked my wife to do that one day, just one day, she messed it all up, and it made the guys look at me like I'm, you know, PW, I guess if you want to call it that.
You were humiliated by your wife not, so you slapped her on the rear end, and she took you into the kitchen and said that was inappropriate, and she left.
Yeah, because at one point, Steve looked around for another beer, and he just kept looking at me, waiting for my wife, like, as if to say, where's your wife? Why isn't it in here getting me a beer? And I had to tell him, you know, she left, she got angry, and I had to go get it.
You had to get up and get beers for your friends.
Yes, sir. And really the point that I'm trying to make here more than anything else is this. Yes, women deserve equal pay, equal rights, and all of that. But at least around your friends, when a man is trying to enhance himself and enhance his standing in the business community, it would be nice if the women would just you'd be able to say to them, give me a sandwich and just, what are you staring at? Get out of here. I mean, I heard Bob say that to his wife. He said, what are you staring at? Get out of here. And she came over and said, I'm sorry, honey, and she kissed him and left. And when I try to do that with my wife, she won't do it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Henry Show. Stephen Bozell is my guest. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California. I want to talk to Barbara. Hello, Barbara, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I was just calling because I understand what you're saying and everything, but at the same point, like a woman's point of view, you're not being very emotionally supportive of your wife either. And I think a lot of the things you're saying are just really hurtful and unnecessary, and I'm sure you think you made a lot of sense, but, I mean, from a woman's perspective, you just really don't sound like a very nice person. I mean,
well, ma'am, I've got two children with my wife who I've been married to now for 17 years. My wife operates a business out of our home, and we've got a very happy marriage. Just one time I wanted to be able to, when my friends came over, to show them that I got a wife who will do the stuff that their wives do, and she won't even do that for me.
But why did you want her to be somebody that she's not? You're not being emotionally supportive of her.
You said that
after she gained weight, after the children, it hasn't been the same, and you're not as sexually attracted to her. And at the same time, she made a tray of chips and salt and ranch, if you even said that. and she brought it out, but then you made sexual comments. That was not part of the agreement. She said that she...
No, it is part of the agreement. Part of the ways that you enhance your standing with other men is being able to talk about how you control your wife in the bedroom,
too. Oh, my gosh.
Too.
Oh, my gosh. You need to get new friends, then. I'm sorry.
No, these are men that I work with. And these
Let me jump in here. Are you abusing your wife?
No, sir, I'm not abusing her.
I mean, you don't beat her up or...
No, sir, I would never lay a hand on my wife. I mean, I love her as much as I...
He's treating his wife as an equal. She's supposed to be your partner.
I love her as much as I can since she... When she had the two kids...
She's your partner, not your servant.
No, but I'm not saying she's my servant, but why can't she act like that when my friends are around so it'll enhance my standing in the business community?
Why would that enhance your standing in a business community?
Because men in business want to know that you can control not only your own business, but your own home. And all I wanted to do is say to her, go get me a beer and get out of here without having to say please.
That is rude. And being in a marriage is not about being in control.
Well,
being
ma'am, I don't know how old you are.
I've been
married 17 years. I don't know if you're married or not. But I can tell you that my wife, after she had the two children and her body went away and it ain't never coming back, I can tell you that. I've been waiting now. My daughter is eight years old, so that's 8 years I've been waiting. It's not never going to happen. I know that now. So the least she could do is let me say to her, because my two friends are there, Cliff Pettigrew and Steve Bertucci, and I heard Bertucci say to his wife, what are you staring at? And get out of here, and she gave him a kiss.
I'm sorry, but when you married your wife, did you marry her for her physical appearance? Because I'm sure you don't look the same way you did 17 years ago either.
Not 100%, no. But because you're a woman, you don't really know about the male... You know, male pressure and everything like that.
Barbara, I gotta take a break. I thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. This may be just a matter of men, women not understanding the needs of men here. Mr. Stephen Bozell, who is suing his wife for breaching a marital agreement that she would behave in a deferential, submissive way when his friends were over, fetching him a beer, allowing him to say things to her like, what are you staring at? Get out of here. I mean, not saying that that's a good thing, but she didn't do that. She got upset, even though he says she agreed to do it one afternoon for his friends for a poker game. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Men at home, being the king of your castle, does it include your wife being deferential enough for you to be able to say to her, go get me a beer without saying please? The gentleman on the line with me from Corona, California, has filed a civil action against his wife for a breach of a marital agreement that she would behave in a deferential manner, that she would get him a beer and allow him to, talk to her the way you wanted to. Is that right, Mr. Bozell?
Right. Make it sound like it's bad. It's just a man being strong, you know. But
the reason is because your friends talk about how they're able to do this with their wives.
And I've seen it.
Yes, you told me you saw one of your friends say to his wife, what are you staring at? Go get me a beer and get out of here. And she gave him a kiss as she left.
Yes, sir. I had said to my wife, and I wrote it down for my attorney, as Dolores Blazing gave in Riverside, California, and your producer wanted that information.
Okay, we'll write that down.
I had said to her, I'm quoting, go in the back with the children. Go into the back bedroom with the children, and don't come out until we're done. Now go get me a beer. And I said that, like we hadn't rehearsed it, but I told her I would say something like that.
Because your wife really isn't deferential. You just wanted her to act that way.
Yes, sir. To impress Mr. Pettigrew and Mr. Bertucci.
Go take the kids into the back bedroom, and don't come out until I tell you to. Now go get me a beer.
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell.
The only thing I would say is, you know, that's disrespect. Only because my husband is a high official.
But we rehearsed it. We rehearsed it.
Well, I mean, I can understand if you rehearsed it.
You rehearsed it?
Yes, sir.
See, still, my opinion would be, you know, if my husband asked me to do something like that, I wouldn't go for it. But
now, there's something here. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Marie. Did you also say to her, because it's in the complaint, here's some money, go try and do something with your face?
Well, it was the afternoon before we had the poker game, and I wanted her to try and somehow do something with their faces. If you hear somebody go to a spa and get your face peeled or what do they do to women? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I mean, do you love your wife?
I love her very much, but, you know, ever since our children were born, her body, it ain't never going to come back. And
yeah, but dude, when you get married, you know all this. I mean, when you have children,
people's
bodies change.
I've seen women who've had kids, and then they get, they're in the gym the next, like, 2 weeks later, and, oh, man.
You know, I mean,
like Pettigrew's wife, Cliff's got 3 children, and she's a dancer. She could still get out there and hoof it on a stage up there at Laughlin. She was at a casino up there. She was like a dancer in an adult place, and she has a great body.
Well, some women have it natural. Now, see, I've lost all my weight, but that's because I choose to do that.
Okay, here's an example.
I feel self-respect for myself.
Brad Pitt is married to Jennifer Aniston.
And she has no children.
She had a baby, and she looks great.
She hasn't had a child yet.
Well, she's gonna. Do you think she's gonna pig out? I don't think so.
Well, do you pay for your wife to go to a spa and a health club and take care of the daycare and all that?
What I did was I told her if she could get some of that liposuction and get her face peeled or something, just anything to try to make herself presentable before everybody came over, because the card game started at 1.
Well, you know, liposuction takes a lot longer than 2 hours.
Well, I'm not familiar.
But, I mean, if you were going to pay for her to go to a gym, pay for her for the kids to go to daycare, pay for her to go to a plastic surgeon.
You know, when you say to your wife, do something with your face.
That's the way a man can talk to a woman who's the king of his castle. Yes, who's the king of his castle.
No,
yes, ma'am.
No.
Yes, ma'am. And she still knows. Look at Steve Bertucci said to his wife one day, okay, don't ever wear those pants again until you get some weight off of your rear end. Now get out of here. And she comes over and hugs him and kisses him and leaves the room.
Don't ever wear those pants until you get some weight off of your rear end.
Yeah.
In front of his friends?
Yes, sir.
All right, Marie, thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Yes, ma'am.
I've got a bone to pick with this guy.
I rented, if I could just say, Mr. Hendry.
Go ahead.
I rented a video of a wonderful movie with Natalie Woods called Gypsy, and I had my wife watch how Miss Woods danced in front of Carl Malden, and she had a great body.
Sir, I have a real problem with you. I want to know what makes you think that you have the right to verbally abuse your wife.
Well, we have
a
business agreement.
Abuse,
we had a business agreement witnessed by Mrs. Charlotte Scott that I would be, she'd act deferential.
And that included saying, get the kids into the back bedroom and don't come out till I tell you?
We were going to rehearse that, yeah.
And this is to include just totally having no respect for herself and allowing you to talk to her this way. Because your friends verbally bash their wives does not mean that you should do the same. They have serious problems if they're verbally abusing their wives that way. You know, that is illegal.
Are you my mother or something?
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball, it's entertainment. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, has taken the unprecedented step of suing his own wife for a breach of a marital agreement that when his friends came over to the house while he was playing poker with them, she would act deferential, that is, very domestic and very affectionate the way their wives do. Mr. Bozell claims he has witnessed his friends speaking to their wives in rather direct ways, such as go get me a beer and get out of here, and the wives give them big kisses. But his wife apparently was upset when she agreed for one afternoon to do the same thing. He slapped her on the rear end. You also said something to her about take the kids, get into the back bedroom, and don't come out until I tell you.
Yes, sir, because that's also what Mr. Bertucci gets to do with his wife. I've also not mentioned the pivotal point of the agreement, or of the breach of the agreement, is that after she had left, after getting mad at me, and I had to go get Steve Bertucci a beer, you know, and he's looking at me like, "What? Why are you getting it?" And I didn't say anything. Everybody looked stunned that I had to go up and get beers when my wife could have been there and done what their wives do. Then, as I'm walking back in with a beer, my wife very clearly shouted, and my attorney says, this is really the emotional abuse part. My wife shouted from the back bedroom, when you're done playing cards, get in here and fold your pants from the laundry. It was at that time.
Well, your attorney claims you had some kind of an anxiety attack then?
Oh, I put the beers down, I said, excuse me, and I went into the guest bathroom that we have downstairs, and I broke down at that point.
She asked you to come into the back bedroom and fold some pants?
Understand, Mr. Anthony.
No, I know. In light of what you wanted her to do, this was going way in the opposite direction.
Yeah, not only did she not act deferential like she said she would, with my friends there, she's telling me to come in the back bedroom and fold my pants.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is Carol with Stephen Bozell on The Phil Henry Show. Carol, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Phil, thanks for having me. Man, where do you get off acting like this?
Friends get to say to their wives, go get me a beer, and then keep your mouth shut.
Dog to get you a beer.
You know, my friends get to say
that. Commercial.
Well, thank God I'm not married to you.
Go get your friends to get you a beer. We're not a slave.
Wait, what's
okay?
We? Who's we? What are you, the queen of all women? My friends.
We are the queen. We do everything but wipe your rear end.
I'll tell you what you do. You'll do what the man tells you to do and like it.
No, we don't.
That's what you're
going to
do.
No,
you will.
No, we're
yes,
not.
You will.
No, we're
yes,
not.
You will.
No.
You can't even be alive without a man. Because men
we're
bring hope.
Neither. That's not what was put on earth to do.
You were put on earth to have babies and keep your mouth shut.
Well, I don't think so.
And my wife won't even do that.
I don't think so. I think that every woman on God's green earth thinks this is that you are a moron
on God's
green earth.
Are you married?
And you?
No, you're not
yes,
married.
Yes, I am
no,
married.
You're not.
Yes,
no, you're
I
not.
Am married.
No, you're not.
Yes,
no,
I
you're
am
not.
Married. I'm
no,
married
you're not.
To a great
no man,
man.
No man could stand being with you.
Oh, you're crazy as a lane. You're crazy as lame.
Look,
I'm married to the greatest man on God's green earth.
I live in Los Angeles, California, okay?
I live in Virginia. You live on the wrong end of the continent, honey.
I'm not in some holler down in Virginia, okay?
You live on...
And women do what they're told here.
Come over here and live and see how the other half live.
Women
honey.
Do what they're told out here. And they don't sit around and jaw-jack
their
husbands. Oh, my
God, that's what they say over here. But let me tell you, we tell them what to do.
Do you yell at your husband come hold your pants while their friends are there?
That's right. We tell them what to do over here. So come, you know, you're crazy.
So you're trying to tell me that your husband never tells you to go to the other side of the trailer and get him a Pabst Blue Ribbon?
You daggone right, buddy.
What kind of trailer you got?
I don't have a trailer.
I tricked you up, though.
I live in a house.
Yeah,
I don't even have to work.
Because I tricked you up, and you said that you're living in a trailer, so...
No, I never said I lived in a trailer.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did.
No.
White trash. Where'd she go?
I don't know. She's gone. Maybe she hung up.
Yeah, she's embarrassed.
So let me get this straight. You broke down and wept after your wife said, come in here and fold your pants.
Yes, sir. And then I blacked out, and next thing I knew, I was laying in bed with a wet washcloth on my forehead that my wife put there.
Did you pass out?
I might have passed out, yes, sir.
Let's go to Molly. Molly, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Molly, go right ahead.
Yes, I have a question, actually. I don't agree with the way that this man is treating his wife, but I have to ask, what kind of agreement was this?
She told me she'd do it.
But what does she get in the agreement? Like, you obviously had your lawyer make out an agreement, and this was what you got out of it.
No, I just was talking to her about it. But it was witnessed by the lady that cleans our house.
Well, then she's got no...
Oh, yes,
she doesn't have to do anything.
Verbal agreements, according to the state of California, are enforceable if they're witnessed and if the intent is carried out.
That has to be done is you have to respect her because you promised to respect her on your wedding day.
You know,
that's actually
let me ask you something.
Thing.
Are you married?
I'm getting married.
Oh, okay. Well, when you get married, you should learn how to do what your husband asks you to do. No, and I can give you lessons if you want. What's your name, Molly?
Take.
Hey, Molly, go get me a beer and then keep your mouth shut. Sit down
childish.
In the corner.
You're just being childish. It's like your friends do it and their wives do it, so you want it too.
Yeah, that's right. Just the way you dress just like your friends do.
Yeah, but you don't know
like
me.
That. Well,
that's so silly. You just want. And what kind of business
Steve,
are you in?
Steve, are you? I want to jump in. Are you saying that
you want to be like your friends just because they're like that?
It enhances my standing in the business community to be able to tell my wife to keep her mouth shut and go to the back bedroom with the kids.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 enhances your standing in the community. I don't know. Is this Huguette?
Yes, this is Huguette.
Go. Right. What do you get?
My name is Huguette.
I know. So what do I get?
You're getting nothing. I'm going to tell you what I think.
Yes, ma'am. Well, here's Stephen Bozell.
Leave the jokes to me, Mr. Andrew. I was in stand-up comedy.
Could you please listen to me very carefully?
Without
interrupting me,
please. I just want to know, are you an American?
Of course I am an American. Are you kidding? Well, I'm more American than you are because I love my country.
You've got some kind of an accent that's frightening.
It doesn't matter if I have an accent. The people will accent made that country, my dear.
No, they didn't. They're Americans.
Anyway, listen
to whatever.
Me. I am 72 years old.
No kidding.
I am married for 49 years. And I was just having dinner with my husband, and we were listening to your show. And my husband said right away, this man is crazy. Because you don't do what your friend do. You should do what make your family happy.
Yeah, but your husband's married to a German.
You've
got to do what German women say. American women do what the American men do.
Where are you born, my dear?
I was born in the United States of America, ma'am.
Okay, do you see American women? It doesn't matter. You can do...
Yes, my friends Cliff Pettigrew and Steve Bertucci's wives, you can say to them, go get me a beer, get on a nicer pair of pants, and get in here and sit down in the corner and shut up. And they'll kiss you and hug you and love you for it.
You know, the same way you wanted your wife to act up in front of your friend,
yes.
Don't you think that your friend also has the wife to act up?
No,
what
because other guys that have been over to Cliff Pettigrew's house,
so
they've seen
sure
it too.
What makes you sure that they are always like this? You really don't know. Don't share their bedroom.
They don't lie.
You don't live with them.
Cliff Pettigrew is one of the most honest people I know. I've played poker with him, and
Here you're talking about honesty when you're the first one who are dishonest. You're showing them something that's not real.
Because I want them to accept me for who I am.
Accept you? They have to accept you for you what you are really.
Yes.
Not to play games and show what you are not.
But
this
I really want to be.
Life, my dear.
I really want to be a guy who tells his wife to shut up.
I have been working. I'm an underwriter. I've been working for 31 years. And this is not how you deal with
people. This lady's got some good things she's saying, Steve.
Well, let me ask you.
Yes.
Like right now, ma'am, I would love to tell you to shut up, but you won't, will you?
Because you need to listen to what somebody's saying.
I just like to tell one woman to shut up, and she'd actually do it.
You can't tell anybody to shut up, man.
That's right.
Well, here's a lady comes on, her name's Huggy, and she comes from Berlin or some deal, and I've said shut up, and she just keeps going, dig.
Well, you know, you love to hear yourself talk. I really pity your wife. Because it seemed to me that she's a wonderful woman. She's taking care of your kids. And it seems to me that you love her. But what you want to show off. And I will have to tell you, I had cancer, and I had a knee replacement, and my husband looked at me the same way.
That's impossible.
The same way he looks at me as when we first married. Because we
respect
each other.
Hey, but when your wife comes, do you come out of the bathroom and say, hey, you got bacon strips on the underwear, and you expect me to scrub these out? No, you don't. You don't do that in front of his friends. Look at me.
Because you spoke not politely to her.
Okay,
you have
Huggy.
To learn to behave, my dear friend.
Okay, your parents named you after a kind of bread, so...
I'm sorry?
That's a baguette. It ain't Huguette. Or what's your name? Huguette?
Yes, Huguette.
Yes, dear.
Can you hear me, Huggy?
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, you said you had an ear replacement.
All right.
No, not ear.
Thank you very much,
Huguette. Knee.
No, me. See, that's what I mean. Me. It's all about you.
No, knee replacement.
As in a knee replacement.
I'd like to have a knee replacement. Did you ever hear that song by Pink? Don't let me get me. I'm my own worst enemy. See, that's me.
All right, listen, Huguette, thank you very much.
I'm sure you don't look as handsome as you were when you first married, but your wife still
Whatever
loves you.
Whatever that's about.
All right, thank you very much. Are you going to pursue this lawsuit, Mr. Bozell? Are you going to pursue this lawsuit?
Probably not.
All right, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Guy calls up, he says, hey, man, we got a new station down here. It's called Real Radio, but you just got made-up conversations with people. I said, dude, it's called Real Radio. The entertainment end of that is the radio end of it. The real end of it is, hey, we do just about as good a job showing people's real emotions as any other show. And what do you think real radio is, anyway? You don't think those guys are telling you the truth, do you? You think those cats get on the air and they lay it out there the way they really feel? I mean, come on. 13 years I've been doing this. 13 years I've been doing this kind of theater radio. And I get the same stupid calls from people. Well, this is just a bunch of made-up stuff. You know what? I got a real great suggestion, and I think it'll be something you'll like. Go to another station. Go to another show. Go to another planet. Watch TV. Read a book. I get the same thing over and over again. 13 years I've been slogging through this. I am personally trying to get my industry to recognize we are just as viable as a satirical entertainment medium as any other. We don't have to sit here, hire amateurs to do boring talk shows. Like the Liberal Radio Network just did. Rank amateurs up and down that freaking lineup. Why? Because you don't have to have any talent to do radio, I guess is the message. Now I'm battling that front, and then on the other front, I got radio executives who have just run off to another seminar to have their rear end spanked and their hand slapped to find out how they can better, you know, heal too for the corporate, for the government. So, you know, it's enough to make a guy just want to break into the downstairs guest bathroom and bury his face in his hands and weep. I told my wife, I said, you know what I should have been? I should have been an actor. She goes, oh, yeah, sure, right. Yeah, you should have been an actor. You're going to be waiting around the phone from one job to the next? I said, frankly, at least when I take the gig, you know, I can kind of create a character, do the job, and just leave. I don't have to invest all this energy in creating a radio show and then having to explain it to people. Because it's radio. See, if this was on television, people would understand, oh, well, I get it, it's entertainment. But because it's radio, it's not supposed to be. We're supposed to sit here, take phone calls, talk about some issue like it's real radio. Like, let's say, oh, I don't know, what do you want to talk about, huh? Abortion, huh? You want to talk about the homeless? Do you want to talk about Iraq? You want to talk about Kerry? Do you want to talk about... Yeah, that's real stuff, ain't it? When I talk about it, it's because I really care about it, not because I got some research paper handed to me that says, well, you really ought to talk about this, that, or something else. 31 years in this business gives me the right to decide what I'm going to put on my radio show, if and when and how, and 13 years doing this unique kind of radio, you know, gives me the right to say, finally, I'm sick and tired of having to explain this. If you don't get it, you don't get it. Listen to something else. I don't want to get any more promos from my radio stations either. As much as I honor and respect all of you guys, don't give me any more promos talking about how I got to explain the freaking bloody show. Why don't you guys do it? If you got callers that can't figure the show out within 3 days, if you have listeners that can't figure the show out in 3 days, you need to market the show differently. Now, I realize that it takes a little imagination. And I realize that's in very short supply in the radio business, but I'm just suggesting it. You know, I mean, I'm sorry. I know we're on a few new stations, so I got to explain exactly what you're hearing here, folks. I would rather have my eyes put out with knitting needles than do a regular talk show. I'd rather have my eyes put out with knitting needles than have the laughing chick sidekick. I'd rather have my eyes put out with knitting needles and have, you know, John Wayne Bobbitt's wife go to work on me than sit here and churn calls through a monologue in the first 15 minutes and then take the phone calls and find out, how do you feel about the Bush Kerry whatever the hell? You know, I would rather just be eaten by all of the zombies in the mall in Dawn of the Dead. Just lay there, strap myself to the floor and go, soup's on, soup's on, have those cats go at me, man. All right, now I had a thing I wanted to say. God, I got 2 minutes for this, man. I could go on and on and on about this. I love this. The National Football League, have you heard the latest? They don't want to take underclassmen from college. Now, the reason ostensibly is, oh, they got a collective bargaining agreement with the, you know, the players union that they won't take any guys from college. But frankly, that's always, you know, it's just a matter of negotiation. The real point is they don't take anybody from college because they don't want to undermine the college programs, and by undermining the college programs, they lose their so-called talent resource. But the fact of the matter remains that if a guy's ready to come out as a sophomore, why not take him? Why does the National Football League wait for a guy to finish 4 years of college when that dumbbell isn't going to get a degree anyway? These guys that you take as ball players in the NFL barely know how to eat with a spoon and a fork, okay? So what difference does it make whether they got a college degree? I say, just as a Phil Henry editorial, the NFL get off of its freaking high horse. You got a couple of clowns now that want to come out, some guy from USC and another idiot. Let them come on out, man. They're wasting everybody's time in college. You don't think those clowns, they're learning anything, do you? They're taking up space in a classroom, taking up space in a dorm room, acting entitled on campus, and acting for all the world like the pompous clods that they are. Take them into your sport. You guys are used to guys like that. You know how to deal with them. That way you get all of that dead weight out of college football. Pretty soon the size of the sport begins to dwindle. Only guys that really like the game and are respectful individuals that'll play it. In other words, it'll become even more boring than it is. African-American young men will decide, maybe I don't have to go into athletics. Maybe, aha, I can try something else. Medicine, law, something like that. And soon that whole stereotype of forcing African-American men into believing the only way to success in America is playing sports, that'll dry up. And the next thing you know, the only people left to play professional sports will be women. And the LPGA will rule. And all of those chicks out there at the dinosaur and throwing footballs around the pool at the motel in Palm Springs will be happy, finally. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. You are not, I guarantee, you are not going to want to miss the next segment on our show. Groundbreaking information coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Show is brought to you by Gum Out. One bottle helps clean out harmful deposits and can help to restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
Now, Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
And tell me your name right off the bat, huh?
Yes, sir. My name is Dave Oliver.
And David, you have some information about Janet Jackson. Again, this is a rumor.
Yes, sir, but it comes from pretty reliable information from a friend of someone who I know works at a production company. You're in Los Angeles.
Works at a production company.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't want you to use any graphic terms because you know of what we warned you about before you went on the air, correct?
Yes, sir.
So you can use the terms that we have approved for you, but tell me what it is you believe about Janet Jackson. And I want anybody listening right now to pay close attention to this.
This individual... And I've spoken to a couple of individuals who are confirming that she's a transsexual. That
in point of fact, she was born a man.
Yes, sir.
And still has a man's private parts, if you will.
Yes, sir.
Why is this information coming out now?
One of the reasons is because a lot of people, I guess, got angry at her for what she did at the Super Bowl, and they think that she's doing a lot of this to try to take attention away from the fact that it might become public. That
this information is finally surfacing after all these years?
Yes, sir. And so she sort of, you know, in a desperation move, I guess, or, you know, whatever, decided that she would do something, I guess, provocative and hope to, I guess, like, prove, you know, her masculinity or, I mean, her femininity, you know. But, and also that I heard the people at CBS know that. They know that she's a transsexual and that they're,
You heard this. Is this just somebody's opinion?
Well, they say it's true. I mean, the people I've talked to. And so CBS, like, approved what she did because they knew the reason and they didn't want to the information to come out because it would do even worse to you know, what people thought if it did come out.
If you just joined us, we're talking with David Oliva. David has an information pool that the word is that Janet Jackson is a transsexual. So, in other words, she is a he.
Yes, sir. And a couple of the things, if I could just say.
Go ahead.
If you, the family's always been, you know, pretty...
strange, huh?
Well, strange, yeah. I mean, pretty extreme. And Michael is every, you know, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. I've always felt that he's, you know, a great entertainer, and I think that he has always been unduly criticized for, I guess you would say, being pretty eccentric, you know. But the whole family has always been pretty eccentric, and this Janet, who was born actually a guy or a man, was just sort of following in the footsteps of how bizarre the family is, you know. And one of the things my friend told me is if it got out that the NFL used a transsexual in their halftime show, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know that, it, you know, what are you going to do? I don't know what if it would have been worse or just as bad as what happened.
Well, that's why they kept it out. They tried to take their focus off of it.
So I'm looking at a list of the family members. We have Rebbe, Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, Latoya, Marlon, Michael, Randy, and Janet. Janet was a brother, was one of the brothers.
Yes, sir. And not everybody in the Jackson 5, I mean, there was a boy, you know, was in the group, I guess. But
Is all of this, in other words, surgery that he, she has had?
Yes, sir.
Breast enhancement and so forth?
Yes, sir. I hear that she had breast enhancement and she had... cheekbone implants. She also had like her eyes done, and you know a lot of you know just different implants. To a lot of, if you're familiar with it, there's a few websites that I guess you can go to. And
no, I know transsexuals, men who want to become women generally do a lot of enhancing surgery. Now, the question is, why has she or he held on to the original private area?
Well, I don't know that the answer for that, but
and we're sure that she has.
Yes, that's the information, is that he or she still has. You know, it could be for religious reasons. It could be for a lot of them do. I mean, a lot of them just maintain that part of their body. You know, but it's pretty weird. And the people that I'm hearing this from are people who work, like I say, in production companies around town, you know, and a couple of them, you know, say they have been to her shows. And
has anybody seen this?
Not anybody that I've talked to, but they know people who say they've definitely seen it. They've.
I don't know who that might be, but I mean, it could be somebody, a private dresser, or.
Well, it could be wardrobe people, anybody, you know.
But I mean, if that's the case, I wonder how she would have kept this hidden for so long.
Well, I mean, there have been rumors about a lot of stuff. I'm sure you heard, like, rumors about Jamie Lee Curtis and all that, you know. And I think people tend to take rumors in Hollywood and just say, well, that, you know, that's like Richard Gere and Gerbils and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, it's like, you mean spiteful stuff.
Yes, sir, yeah. But this isn't it, because if you look at her, she's got a very masculine face. That, you know, all the surgery in the world is not really going to help, you know. And especially on stage. And, you know, they've worked very hard to keep this a secret because she's made a lot of money, you know, being...
Well, she's made an awful lot of money being a great star and obviously being the, to some degree, the sex symbol that she is. But what I find interesting about this is that you're saying that Janet Jackson's a transsexual, actually a man... at a time when all of the hubbub was about the exposure of some other part of her or his body.
Yeah, well, that again, the people I talk to say it's because they were afraid that there would be that this controversy was going to, you know, that was going to take place, and she needed to do something that was going to sort of, I guess, accentuate, you know, her femininity.
All right, we're talking with David Oliva. If you just joined us, our number is 1-800-449-8686. David is familiar with some people who work in production companies around town.
And he says the rumor is that Janet Jackson is actually a transsexual, meaning there's a man's private parts there.
Yes, sir.
And that this whole thing happening at the Super Bowl was a way of sort of taking some sort of energy away from the possibility that this was going to be made public. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I heard that there was a writer who was going to do a expose on it, but he was talked to by some people and he backed off of it. So she's nervous right now. She's also going around trying to all be, you know, on talk shows and everything. And, yeah, my new album's coming out, this and that, you know, and just so, like, nobody will talk about how, you know, she's a he and she's got, you know, a thing and everything. But that, to me, it wouldn't matter to me at all because I think she's very talented, you know, he's very talented or whatever you want to say. So it wouldn't matter to me at all, you know. I still think she does a great, you know, show, but you know, that's all that I know. And
well, you make a good point about the family being a little weird. Michael is, you know, is out there, and keep in mind we're not talking about anything that's illegal here.
No, not at all.
We're not talking about anything that's against the law. But we do have to emphasize this is a rumor. Nothing is really. There's no fact.
But the guys I talk to, they believe that it's totally true, you know, and they would be in a position to know, so.
1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Now you know why I was holding on to this for a later broadcast. The rumor here is that Janet Jackson, and you know she's doing a big tour promoting her new album, is in fact a transsexual, was born a man and maintains or has retained the male, shall we say, options. 1-800-449-8686. It's a strange story, but coming out of the Jackson family, I mean, it's just like every day is a day in, Wonderland. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will continue.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
David Oliva is on with us. David is talking about a rumor that he, frankly, is sort of spreading here. But you feel confident in your sources that Janet Jackson is a transsexual. Now, naturally, the woman is, she's been the subject of an awful lot of controversy.
Well, I know that, sir.
And I, you know, it's possible that people try to impugn or say disreputable things about her.
Yes, sir, I know that, too.
So, but you feel confident?
I do, because it makes sense. I mean, the family's, like, I'm sure part of the reason Janet hid the fact she's a man stems back to her childhood. You know, her father was, you know, probably said, I don't want any more boys, you know. If you want to be successful, you got to be a girl. I mean, that's my theory, you know. And I mean, he didn't want to mess with, you know, him or it would get hit, you know. So it just became a girl, you know.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We have a gentleman on the line, Sammy.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go right ahead, Sammy. You're on the air on the Phil Hendry Show with Dave Oliva.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes.
You know, as I told you earlier, Phil, I wrote for Job at Enterprise. I've been knowing Joe, the father, for a long time.
You worked for
a long time. I wrote for
Enterprise
first. Pardon me?
Did you say you worked for Enterprise?
I was with Job at Enterprises.
I wrote for them. The rental car company?
Started at the Brill Building.
Not the rental
Barry
car
company. Barry Gordon's sister ran the office at the Brill Building.
The Brill Building in New York.
In New York.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? So I've been around this family for a while, and I've never heard anything like this or imagine anything like this.
You've not
I think
heard,
the family
you haven't
may
heard
have
rumors?
Some problems because they are so famous, but this is low.
Well,
this is low. Do you realize
could
how
I ask
many
you a
people,
question?
If they had those kind of facts, how they would have sold that family down the drain a long time ago?
Yeah, but
a lot of people have passed
She's through there.
That whole family is kind of weird. The whole
family. And they would have sold them out a long time ago. How can you get on the radio and say something like that without some proof?
Well, wait a second. Have you not ever seen her nude or nothing? No, you haven't. So how do you know for a fact?
I didn't say I know for a fact. I said, how do you bring something like that without fact?
You don't know it's a fact, do you, Dave?
No, sir, I don't know it's a fact. But
you couldn't say that.
It makes sense, okay? Look at her face. It looks like a guy. Okay?
I'm pretty sure if I looked at your face, you would look like a woman.
Okay, I'm not trying to get personal, man. I'm just trying to say, you know,
you should not have come forward with anything like that unless you had definite words.
No, it's a rumor going around. Like Richard Gere, they said he liked gerbils.
Don't repeat rumors.
That's
brother.
A good point. Now, David, you feel it makes sense because you say the family's strange?
Yeah, I mean, look.
I didn't say strange.
No. He said
the family may have some problems. That was what I said.
Well, what I said is, I mean, if you look at Michael, he's like from Mars or something, okay? So
why are you even going there if you don't know the family?
Sir, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm not even saying that she's a bad person. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of weird, you know, that it's a guy.
If somebody, listen, let me tell you something about...
If it's a guy, why doesn't it just be a guy?
Let me tell you something about the music feel, okay? Because I've been there. I'm 67 years old now.
Don't you think it's possible?
I've been there for a long time.
Don't you think it's possible the father...
Let me hit you to a few things.
Well, wait, don't you think it's possible the father...
If you became famous, and someone had just a little tidbit of anything on you, they would have sold it to the newspapers or to somebody a long time ago.
Okay, how come Rock Hudson was able to keep it private that he was gay? Oh, yeah, I got you now. I got you now, man.
No, you didn't have me.
Yeah, they
didn't have me. Everybody in Hollywood probably knew it. They didn't feel
nobody.
That they wanted to throw it out there and talk about it.
Okay.
It was something that everyone in the world should know.
Don't you think? Okay, can I ask you a question since you know
they
him?
They need to be making money
otherwise. We're talking with David Oliva about how he believes Janet Jackson's a transsexual. You wanted to ask Sam a question?
Yeah. Don't you think it's possible the father was so mean he could have mixed all the kids up and forgot?
I know Joe.
Forgot the sexes of them and stuff?
I know Joe.
Yeah?
I know Joe, and I know very well that he was very determined for all of his children to be rich and to have a good life, and I think he have accomplished that. I would ask you another question.
Okay. How come...
Where is your family right now?
First of all, there's a rumor that her original name was Leroy.
No. That's not what I asked you. How is your family doing right now?
Well, that man
made his family rich.
At least they are walking around...
For yours?
They're not walking around in a chick's clothes with a guy's... With a guy private
doing for yours. Make your money some other way. Thank you very much for letting me come
on. LaToya Post Nude and Janet
did not right. And I'm going to
well, I think it's a good point.
I enjoy your program
tonight. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I enjoy the station bring issues
thank
to the public. But when I find something like this,
well, you have to stand up
nothing but
something.
Trash,
yes.
I have to attack it.
Well, how do you know? Because they said her name was originally Leroy.
I'm gone. You have nothing else to say to me. I'm gone.
Did you see her on 11 the other night? You could almost see the outline of the dress.
Right, sir, thank
beautiful.
You.
They're
thank
still
you.
Performing.
Yes, sir.
And they have made a
yes.
life for themselves.
Absolutely.
Found a life, man.
Yes.
Okay, but one more thing, man. Did you know that Tito's original name was Tina? No, you didn't, because...
Get out of here! Tito's original name was Tina. Janet Jackson's a transsexual. Nice phone call, Chris. Way to screen him, man. 1-800-449-8668. No, I'm not going to amuse that guy any longer. See, this is a great... I'm glad we had that last call, because that's exactly how you begin to debunk things. You just vehemently deny the possibility that anything like that could happen. Look, if she screwed up on TV, she screwed up on TV. Okay, so what do I got? David on line what? Yeah, David?
I don't want to interrupt in the program, but I want to ask you a question. Why did you hang up on a gentleman?
Because I felt that what he was talking about was inappropriate,
I felt that...
But it was very compelling, and I don't understand why you hung up on him.
For a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't want to hear any more about her being a Janet Jackson being a transsexual. And plus, I'm also, to be honest with you, worried about all this FCC stuff.
What FCC? You mean the indecency stuff?
Yeah.
That wasn't indecent. That was an interesting young man who had something very, I think, important to say.
That Janet Jackson's a transsexual.
Yes, and you got some old guy calling up, and you, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir. And you hang up on the kid that was interesting.
Well, all I'm trying to do is...
Look, do me a favor, will you? Try to bring interesting radio to the arena whenever you can. When you find it, you don't hang up on it. That's the one thing I wanted to tell you.
I thought that we would...
Yeah, I know you thought we'd be in violation of the FCC.
Yes, and I didn't think it was decent conversation.
Well, you're not in violation of the FCC. You're talking about something that has to do more with sociology than anything else.
All right, is this kid back? Dave, you there?
Yes, sir.
What did you want to say?
There are a couple of rumors that Jermaine Jackson might have been, too.
Really? Where did you get that?
Well, they said his name was Janine, so...
What are you doing, shtick now?
I want to hear the kid. What do you, his name was Janine, huh?
Yeah, and also, Marlo Thomas used to be Marlon Thomas. Marlon Thomas, like Marlon Brando?
Yeah.
That's all I know.
That's great. And you hang up on this guy. Keep him on the air.
David, I gotta move on.
Keep him on the air.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Vagisil for the mind. The Phil Henry Show is back.
You know the other thing that I just absolutely I don't understand it. I don't understand it, and the only reason why I'm asking the question is nobody else will. How is it CBS is still walking around unscathed from this? How come they don't get a fine? How come they don't get a slap? How come they don't get a pinch? Nothing. This is unbelievable. I mean, if the FCC ain't in the pocket of those guys, then there's your conspiracy. You want to know who knew what, when, and how, and who lied? CBS is, they're the guys that started this whole thing with that he, she, it, or whatever, exposing its breast. And the next thing you know, radio's getting all kinds of fines, and I ain't heard of one guy at CBS getting fired, fined, nothing. Nothing. This is just a little bit of inside politics, folks. But if there's anybody from the television world listening, you guys were born with a horseshoe shoved so far up your you-know-what, or maybe you don't know what, that, you know what, I'd like to rub all of your bald heads for good luck, man. All right, Don Parsley was on our show yesterday. Mr. Parsley was the very good friend, so he says, of a man who enlisted in the United States Army, went to Iraq, and was killed in action near Baghdad. And as tough as it is for him, he has to collect a $1,000 debt that that man owed him before he went off to Iraq, even if it means collecting it from the man's family, who frankly doesn't have it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't see why he can sit there and say that his friend was stupid or whatever. He didn't go over there and, you know, tell them Iraqis to shoot me dead so I don't have to pay so-and-so his money back.
How do you know?
And
how do you?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me your friend went all the way to Iraq to get shot so he didn't have to pay back $1,000?
I'm not saying that, but I'm just asking this man, how does he know it's not true?
Well, you know, if he wanted to just kill himself, he would have just shot himself at home and you know, done cut out the middleman or whatever. But if it was your daughters that owed, you know,
that's a good
your
point.
Daughter owed this debt,
yeah,
you know, you wouldn't want them be treated like this by some idiot like you, you know, telling them you owe this. What it amounts to is people don't see things your way, and that's why you're so upset about it. Because if it was the other way around, you wouldn't pay the money. If somebody you know, somebody you was related to died, you wouldn't pay the money.
Okay, I'm sorry. You lost me. I'm sorry.
In other words, it's the same scenario that we're talking about here, Mr. Parsley, except you would be the soldier.
But I would never be a soldier because I'm against the illegal occupation of Iraq.
You know why you won't ever be a soldier?
No,
because you got your head so far up your butt because you ain't got the balls to be American soldiers.
Wait a minute.
They don't let little panty waist like you be soldiers.
I'm a panty waist?
Because you marched down the street behind Martin Sheen. Ooh, well, who the hell is he? You know, what constitution do you go by? The United States or the United Nations? You want to go by the United Nations? Go to Africa. Get out of the United States.
Until you march down Hollywood Boulevard behind Mike Farrell and all of them.
Oh, Mike Farrell.
You don't even know how fun it is.
Well, it sounds to me like that's a damn gay parade parade.
Gay parade?
Can I ask a question? Is this Arlie Ermey?
Pride parade.
From the movie? You know,
Mike Farrell and Martin Sheen? Idiots.
Well,
that's
sir,
why you was in there with them, because you're an idiot, too.
Sir,
I'd pay you $1,000 just to come.
Well, that's what I've been trying to tell him, Michael. The Phil Henry Show will pay off the $1,000, but the guy doesn't want, you don't want me to take.
Mr. Henry, this isn't about you or this gentleman paying it. The family has to pay it so they can know that they hurt me when they said they disagreed with me.
Oh, so you're going to be a pecker because you got your feelings hurt, so now you're going to make it worse on them and hurt them, but you love them like they're your daughters?
Yes, sir, I do.
I hate to see how you treat your real daughters, then. You probably lock them in a damn closet and don't feed them or whatever.
Sir, I never indicated that I had daughters. See, you're misstating the facts again.
It's a good thing you don't, because they'd be taken away from you if you don't care no more about the other two people
you
claim to be your daughters.
Why would you assume that I have daughters?
He's not assuming that you have daughters.
Yes, he is, sir. And this is the problem with the pro-war crowd. They just lie and lie again.
Look, I ain't pro-war. I'd put George Bush up against Martin Sheen and Mike Farrell any day. I guarantee it.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what?
Five against you ten.
Susan Sarandon was there and winked at me. And see,
all the have-been, wannabe actors that's no good anymore, so now they're trying to get a name for themselves.
Yeah, let me ask you something here, Don. What's the big wow about you walking behind Martin Sheen down Hollywood Boulevard, an anti-war thing?
Because
that's
I was in an anti-war protest and everything, which proves I'm anti-war, and then I gave $1,000 to a guy who went over and got himself shot just so he could stick the debt on his daughters. And
we've already told you that that guy didn't...
I bet you owe $1,000 to somebody that you don't know, and that's why you're being so pushy with
me. Wait a minute. Was it his daughters or his sisters that you want the money from?
What did I say?
You just said his daughters.
His daughters.
Uh-oh. Look at me like
wait a minute.
Like the veterinary woman.
Hey, veterinarian. You know.
Look at Michael. Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. I want to talk to that guy.
No, we've run out of time for this hour.
I said it's his daughters.
You said it was his sisters, okay?
Turn that up, will you, honey? Mr. Henry, I just want my $1,000.
Yeah, meanwhile, you're sitting in a hot tub. Listen to that thing.
I got the jets going. I got the jets in. Put on the blowers. Listen to this. Oh, that is sweet.
Are you trying to tell me, man, you're sitting in a hot tub with the blowers on, and you still want that G from that poor family of a killed-in-action American soldiers? A soldier.
Ha-ha. You said soldiers. Ha-ha-ha. You meant to say soldiers. Get that rubber duck for me, will you? You know, Mr. Henry...
Bug off.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Can you get his rubber duck or not? Guy's in his hot tub. There he is. That's Don Parsley, one of the great bullcrap artists of all time. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, especially you guys last hour who called in and said you wanted real radio and not a lot of phony calls. Welcome back, because I know you've been sticking around. Hey, did you hear this one? Paul Horning opened his big bazoo about race relations or something. Paul Horning is a former running back with the Green Bay Packers and Notre Dame. He's an alum from Notre Dame, and so he made a statement to some idiot writer and said, they need to lower the standards to get more black athletes. We need more black athletes at Notre Dame, so they need to lower the standards. You know, I got into trouble once. I was working at a radio station in Minneapolis once, and I got into trouble with some sports clown that they had on the station because the guy was some, you know, he was a real local mogul, right? And I asked him, I said, how come the University of Minnesota sports football is so lousy? He said, we don't have enough black football players. I said, what's that got to do with it? Are you saying that blacks are better at football than whites?
No, you're twisting my words.
Twisting his words? That's exactly what the guy said. Of course, I got in trouble for it because I was the new guy and he was a long-standing Minnesotan. Meaning, if you're long-standing in Minnesota, it means you pretty much got an icicle parked right up there. And so, you know, now here comes Paul Hornung. Now, this is an example of what I have been saying over and over and over again. When you are an athlete, professional or collegiate, you are only qualified to talk about the actual mechanics of the execution of the game you are playing. You are not qualified to speak on social or political matters necessarily. I'm not saying that you're not entitled to your opinion, but I think that people who stick microphones in front of athletes' mouths, they know what they're doing. They're waiting for the guy to say something dumb. If you're an athlete, let me tell you, you ain't smart enough, man. You're not smart enough to weigh in on politics and sociology. That's for bloody well sure, okay? If you are, then the rest of us are. And why they stick a microphone in front of your mouth? What does Paul Hornung know about the admittance standards for Notre Dame and why black athletes are more preferable than white? He hasn't got a clue. He probably doesn't know where he parked his last Cadillac. And I bet he still buys Cadillacs, too. He looks like the kind of guy. Oh, you mean Cadillac's a sponsor? Good for you, Paul. Been a long time since I rock and rolled
Cadillac.
This is the point that I've been trying to make over and over and over again. And everybody said, I don't know, what are you talking about, Phil? This is what I'm talking about, man. Every time one of these guys opens his big bazoo, he says something stupid. He may think he's funny. He's not. He may think he's insightful. He's not. He may think that he's saying something that's never been said before. It has. Whether it's Paul Hornung, whether it's Charles Barkley, there's another guy that everybody thinks is just such a laugh riot. What a bore that guy is. Dennis Rodman. All of them. Paul Hornung is just another in a long line of imbeciles weighing in on a topic that he has no information about, has no real qualification to comment on. And now, of course, when somebody finally showed him, kind of explained to him using blocks and flashcards why what he said was dumb, he goes, oh, okay. So then he apologized. But they had to do it using a variety of teaching aids. Flashcards. They also used, I believe they used shadow puppets, too. Paul, look at, see, that I'm not getting it. Okay, black, see, black man, bad to say, he better at sport. So it goes back to what I was saying before the break last hour, and it bears repeating. What is it with the National Football League saying they don't want to take underclassmen? What are you guys crazy or something? Why not? Why wouldn't you? If the guy's good, the guy's good. If he's qualified, he's qualified. Are you trying to still sell this thing that you value the college educations of your employees? The average football player in the National Football League couldn't spell dog or cat. He knows how to play football. He's an imbecile. And these guys have taken up valuable space in college. Plus, when they're in college, they commit a lot of their antisocial acts. They kind of warm up there before they get into the NFL and go hog wild waving their guns around or beating up their wives or whatever those clowns do, using their dope or whatever their problem is. When they're in college, they're doing their rapes and they're doing their muggings and they're stealing their cars then, too. I mean, the least thing you could do, National Football League, is let these guys at least be available for the draft if they're talented enough, because you're taking one more scumbag off the campuses of America and sticking them where they belong on the rosters of the National Football League. Boy, you are harsh, Henry, for a football fan. Look, you know, what are you guys born yesterday? I love football. I'm not fooled into thinking all of these guys are like, you know, they're the apple of their mama's eye. That may be fine, man, but I don't think their faces belong on a coin. And like I said, once you get those bums out of the colleges can then return to the sensible pursuit of educating people. Oh, yeah, Phil. Well, you know that college football, it puts a lot of money into our universities. Well, maybe it does. And maybe it puts a lot of money into the pockets of a lot of, highly paid administrators and teachers and guys that, you know, could do with a little less bread. Guys, who are those guys with the motorboards walking along with a pipe in their mouth? Is that the president of the college? You know, the thing, the flat hat? He walks around looking like something out of a Laurel and Hardy movie? Those guys could use a little less jack in their pocket. And maybe what they could do is maybe make the schools a little smaller, make them a little more intimate, make them a little more about education, a lot less about the rest of that stuff. Get those guys out of there, stick them in the NFL, and quit playing around National Football League like you're worried that you're going to be drafting underclassmen. Who are these idiots? Mike Williams and Maurice Claret. They want to go in? Let them go in. Are they good enough? They're good enough. They're going to fight a court battle about this.
Oh, we don't want them in because we'd rather that they, you know, we got a collective bargaining.
Ah, those clowns. You got the NFL Players Association. They just want to keep all the good cheese for themselves, okay? Time to make a little room. Move over for daddy, okay, guys? You know what? Everybody's welcome at the party. And if the kid's 18 and he's going to get, a $20 million signing bonus, tough luck. Anyway, can't wait for camp to start. Don't forget the Phil Henry Show website, www.philhenryshow.com. In order to access the largest archive of classic stellar radio comedy, and it's only on our website, you have to have a backstage pass, $6.95. The stuff we got on our website's valuable, man. We don't give it away like a lot of these guys do, who got like three clips from last week's show. We got it all going on, and you get it for $6.95 there at www.philhenryshow.com. Great gifts at our souvenir shop too, and get a copy of the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, or buy it on the website, or call 1-877-616-7445.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We will end our show tonight with a small opinion about relationships from me. But first, this little bit of news. Alanis Morissette has become an ordained minister to marry her gay friends. How come everybody in the world has gay friends except me? I ain't got any gay friends, man. Everybody's got their gay friends. You know, most of my gay friends... Oh, really? You've got gay friends too, huh? Yeah, oh yeah, don't you? No. I mean, occasionally Carell calls me, but that's it. Every, like, 6 months he'll give me a shout and go, "What's up?" "Oh, not much, Carell. How are you?" "Fine, goodbye." Click, bye. And Carell loves to talk. That guy will go on forever, but with me it's like, "Oh yeah, okay, we'll see you later, Phil. And quit calling me here." All right. But I don't have any gay friends, and so what is everybody talking about? By the way, Alanis is going to marry some of her lesbian friends one night, and then they're going to try and leave. She'll try and leave with her straight friends, and they'll say, "Where do you think you're going?" And some diesel named Midge is going to drag her by the hair into a spare bedroom. So I'd be careful what you wish for, Alanis. You just might get it. All right, here is something that needs to be said, I think. We are at that place. You remember last night I was talking about how... there's no love songs with the names, with the words husband or wife in it. You know, people. Then I had a lot of old people calling. "There was a lovely song." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how if we value, straight people value marriage so much, how come they don't write songs about it? Let me tell you one thing, though, that you know, I think sort of whether you're gay or straight, and I believe in gay marriage. In fact, I think I'm going to be involved in a gay marriage. Does that mean I have to marry a gay guy? Okay. In fact, Maria and I are going to get gay married. I think gay marriage is so cool. My wife and I are going to get married gay. No, seriously, it's a good thing, and it's constitutional, all that stuff. But anyway, I'll tell you one thing that is overrated, this thing, this boyfriend-girlfriend thing. You know, I used to believe in this stupid ritual, which is we are exclusive to each other. Really? What does that mean? Well, we've agreed not to see other people. Oh, okay. Cool. Which is what I did throughout my single life. You know, I agreed not to see other people and like that. And then when I actually, you know, had sex with another woman, I felt guilty. Like I wanted to just rend my clothes like a biblical character. Like I wanted to sit by the edge of a dirt road and beat myself with a stick while people walked by and threw doubloons at me or something. And I realize, if you ain't married, man, there's no such thing as cheating on somebody. There's no such thing as cheating on a person if you're not bloody, at least engaged to them. There's no such thing. So I want to leave you with a good thought tonight, something that will make everybody feel better, and most of you who are in relationships. If you're in a relationship, man, whatever that's supposed to mean, committed, exclusive to each other, monogamous, There is no such thing, my friends, as cheating on somebody in a relationship like that. So if you happen to stray while you're out on the road and you're doing this or doing that, or your best friend's girlfriend is, you know, actually better looking than your girlfriend, whatever, 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 don't feel guilty. That's just the life. Try getting engaged, okay? Try actually marrying somebody. Now, that's when you ought to be really faithful to them. But until then, have yourself a blast. And knock it off with this bull crap about committed relationship. You know what a committed relationship is? It's getting freaking married to the person. That's another reason why we need gay marriages, okay? Because there's too many of you stupid idiots out there getting with these committed relationships, all you gay people. And that's, and Alanis agrees with me. That's why she wants you people to get married and quit calling her up and sending her fan mail about that song means so much to me and my partner. Use the word. Husband. Ladies. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.